This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
94.9. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Our next guest is Father Peter McLeod Miller. And apart from other things, Peter, you're the Archdeacon of the Diocese of Hume.
So posh.
It would be. No, actually, at the moment, what I'm doing is I'm actually making some mulled wine for a Christmas in July, which is far more important than anything else I've ever done in the past.
Now, that would be nice, I think. Now, there's breakfast wine.
Yeah, that would
be. You could be serving that tomorrow during your service, Peter.
Are you mulling up some old communion wine?
Oh no! We get much better stuff than that, to be quite frank. We could always do better, to be quite frank. No.
I know, because you only ever have a sip of that, and you're never quite sure where it's come from.
You're quite right.
The Anglican Church has been in the news recently for a whole range of reasons.
Generally, wrong reasons.
But one of the pieces I read, which was actually in The Economist. And it was talking about the Anglican Church, particularly in England, and understanding that the Anglican Church, of course, is, you know, a significant church within the Commonwealth, but outside the Commonwealth, not so much, although it's probably been rebranded as a bit of a franchising exercise in other countries.
I think the schools, I think, is normally still a good brand.
Yeah. Now, this is the question that I... Had we had Peter Curti on, and I'm sure you know Peter Curti from the...
Oh, yes, I do.
Is the Anglican Church dying?
I think in our tradition, there are some things that do need to die. I think we shouldn't be frightened of death. I mean, one of my friends who's the dean of an English cathedral said, I know the church is dying, but it's so boring on the way down.
Yeah. Well, how can we change that? How can we make this a bit more exciting and fun?
Well, I do think that one of the people like Hugh McKay, who's a sociologist, he actually says that the Christian tradition, it does some tremendous things in communities, not as an institution, but actually it's the value of what people find in community. And it brings people together, it makes a connection, it cares for people, and it makes people kinder. And I do think that part of any tradition must be pretty good or worth supporting. But in some places, the institution seems to be dragging, it's trying to sell, dragging yourself back into the past. There's a very famous book called The Church That Was, which is how the Church of England lost the English population, which I think is very interesting. And when it came out a couple of years ago, it caused an absolute stir. I mean, it was just rushing out of the Church of England bookshop in London. People hated it, but they just had to read it. And I think that it is talking about the way that a lot of institutions have perhaps been unfaithful to the original ideas, and I think that's, you have to say, that would be the case. And interesting that people in the pews are often, I think, far more progressive than people in the pulpit, which I think is a bit of a shame. But I think at the end of the day, community will win. And I think that particularly when there are fewer and fewer clergy around, I think the congregation is becoming more important. And people's values, which I think are universal. We always say at St. Matthew's, Aubrey, because we do believe in sort of marriage equality and equality of women and also existing people who are marginalised. And we say, if anything, we're just too traditional, because we think that God loves everyone.
Yes. Gosh. Now, there's a radical thought, Peter. There's a radical thought. It's something that I wish Bishop Thorpe could come to terms with.
You know, I was...
Here I catch up.
I was brought up by an Anglican mother and an excommunicated failed Catholic father. And
fantastic.
Yes, and I was an altar boy. and I went to...
tell me the rest of the good story.
I went to Trinity Grammar in Kew.
How posh.
I know. And the thing is, the Anglican Church, in all the years that I've been around, I have seen go from being a quite conservative organisation to somewhat progressive. Yeah. And unfortunately, I now think, and this is not a reflection on you, Peter, irrelevant. In terms of the positions that, and the Anglican Church, you know, often it is said as a broad church. I say, yeah, well, perhaps it needs an exorcism. But
or a diet.
Or a diet. Yeah,
you know, but the church, to me, as a gay man, doesn't resonate. It doesn't stand up for me as being God. I am God's work. Right? I'm not interested in discussion.
No doubt.
I'm not interested in discussions that the church, and some people in the church, not all, sometimes have about, you know, my sexuality and where I sit in all this. So, you know, for me, it's a challenge, the views that the church sometimes has. What do you say to that?
Well, I think we need to be kind to the church as an institution. I mean, I look at it, you know, a bit like this, that it is without doubt that the church as an institution in terms of community traction is dwindling. And I think in some parts, I'm absolutely celebrate that because, you know, when gay marriage equality, for example, was happening, well, in as much as the church had a capacity to stand in the way, I think that irrelevant would be the loveliest place for it to be. But you see, now that all has all happened, so in some way the church is actually running to try to catch up. And if you think about a patient who was in palliative care who suddenly had an absolute fixation upon sex, I think that might be the church as it is today. Which I think is a bit sad, really. You know, a bit sad. I think a bit Miss Havisham, I think, is somewhere. She's rather left at the altar, you know, and she's got a sort of spiders and cobwebs are growing. And I think that's probably the case. And, you know, you can talk things up, but you see, at one stage the church had a really foundational community position. You know, it did things like social welfare, education, it regulated people's relationships, it provided security, safety, and those sorts of things. And as time has gone on, I'm pleased to say that the governments have taken that over, and a lot of non-government organisations have stepped forward too. So I think that community has taken control and ownership of those things, which is terrific. I think in as much as which is only my very humble opinion, but nevertheless, I've had a few spiritual black eyes over these issues over the past. So I do sort of carry them in a way. I do think that in as much as you know, kindness and goodness are found everywhere, if you can't find kindness and goodness within a spiritual community, I think you're probably in the wrong place. But I do think also I worry about young people and the modelling of, particularly with the increase in the reputation of church schools, I do worry about the influence upon young people of religious education institutions, because most of them are in receipt of public funding. And I do think if you receive public funding, then you also need to receive public values. And so I do think, this is, I think, a matter of fairness, you know, I think it's fairness, you know, fair go and all that. And I do think it makes sense that if you're receiving, if you're an organisation receiving public funding, and then what you're doing is you put young people on a collision course with their own community, I think it's a bit like social vandalism. I do think that we should be careful about those things, and I think we should carefully moderate the influence of the church upon our community, about our young people, and also old people. Old people are stuck, you know. Obviously, you know, sometimes you know, they're trapped, and I think that that the church ought to be for them as well, in terms of honouring their experience and their life opportunity and things like that. I think we should also be making sure that the church doesn't force older people into a previous century. I think the worst thing, I mean, some of the most fantastic people I've ever met are older people who've been liberated from those ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, they've sort of burnt their bra, kicked off the corsets, and they're really living. And I think that is fantastic. But sometimes the things that have held them back from their mental health and total well-being is some of the things they learned as children about religious intolerance. And I think that's a bad thing. Mm.
I think, Peter, and we actually in the previous interview were talking about this, that, you know, if an organisation receives public funding, then that organisation should be beholden to public laws, and that includes discrimination
absolutely.
Laws.
Absolutely. I don't believe the church should be have any exemptions from any legislation at all. I mean it is absolutely nonsense if you think that we have a body that makes laws for the benefit of the whole community. Well, and that includes the church. And I think that in terms of benefit, that we all benefit from that sort of scrutiny and that sort of regulation. And I would hate to think that, in fact, it disappoints me to think that I belong to an organisation that doesn't think so.
I know. And how Peter, like, how does this organisation elect an archbishop like Archbishop Rick Thorpe, who's come out here saying there will be no same-sex weddings and celebrations in my church?
I think that it shows the failure of the process. I mean, I think there are a lot of very concerned Anglicans in Melbourne and across Australia that. You look at this situation and think, well, that can't be right. I mean, you can't tell me there's not a perfectly marvellous liberal individual, male, female or transgender across
Australia.
Peter,
did you put your hand up for the job? I vote for Father Peter McLeod Miller to be the next Archbishop of Victoria.
I think the lovely thing for Christian people in Australia now is that this sort of leadership forces people to ask where they really stand themselves. And, you know, that I think sometimes we need to throw the institution in the boot and run with our own values. That's what I think. Mm.
It's been very refreshing talking to you, Peter. You know, I know.
It's always lovely to talk to you.
And you know, that, you know, you're not the most popular person in the Anglican Church, but then again, neither was I for a while.
Peter's very popular in his parish.
I know, but I encourage you, Peter, if you don't have much to do with Trinity Grammar in Q, you should. As a survivor of historical child sexual abuse, Trinity Grammar has made enormous strides. It actually has a survivor's memorial on site.
Wow.
And the principal of Trinity Grammar, Adrian Farrer, is an outstanding...
And I know him and his father.
And his, yep. So,
and a wonderful person.
Reach out.
And his mother as well. Mm, terrific.
Reach out to Adrian. Tell him you're speaking with Macca. And after you've both come out of counselling, have a cup of tea together.
And reach out to Archbishop Thorpe. Peter, we are out of time.
We're out
again.
Of time.
Enjoy the mulled wine.
Great.
I love that you've got an Anglican minister celebrating Christmas
in July.
You know, well, it's like,
and we would love to have you back in our pulpit, Fiona.
Oh,
we would absolutely.
Oh,
I'll polish it up for you.
Yeah, thank you. I will be up there to give the good sermon.
And you definitely need some better wine for communion.
Well, I'll ship some in.
Okay. Thanks so much, Peter.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks so much.
You are.
Well done, Faith. All you do.
Cheers. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. I'm going to do a quick thank you to our guests. Reuben Berg, co-chair of the First People's Assembly of Victoria, Nick Rees, Lord Mayor of Melbourne, Michaela Dryberg, CEO of Gender Equity Victoria, Zoe Daniel and Ange Pippos, former member for Goldstein and Zoe's Chief of Staff, Ange, Jackie Turner, the Trans Justice Project, and Father Peter McLeod Miller. a nice refreshing voice from the Anglican Church. Thank you, Fiona Patton. Fiona is joining us again in another month or two, another month, you know, as a regular co-host. Really love you coming in, Fiona. It's a breath of fresh air. Those on the conservative side
of listeners this morning, an absolute whirlwind,
will have been totally clutching their pearls today, because we had you, we had Zoe Daniel, we had, you know, some very progressive voices. But I say it is always about policy. Right. Mm. Good policy gets good outcomes. So thanks, Fiona.
Thanks
for coming in. Thank you, Paul. Thank you to Joy for the opportunity. We will be back here next week. Jack is coming up next. Stay with us. You are on Independent Media, Joy 94.9. Remember, Independent Media. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.